After September 11th, one phrase has been repeated over and over: things will never be the same again. Over the past 2 months, Americans have seen strict airport security and precautions against anthrax spores in the mail. Those measures certainly catch our eye, but it's the subtle psychic adjustments made by a society threatened by terrorism that may be harder to pin down. Several other parts of the world have also suffered terrorist attacks inside their borders, Northern Ireland, Britain, and Peru among them. From time to time, we'll check in with writers from some of these places to find out how their societies coped. Today, our guest is Peruvian novelist Mario Vargas Llosa. The author of dozens of novels, plays, and essays, he's devoted his life to literature and to politics. In 1990, he ran unsuccessfully for president of Peru against Alberto Fujimori. He now divides his time between London, Lima, and Madrid, and he joins us here in our studios in Washington. Welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Now, I wonder if you'd give us just a brief background of Peru and its experience with terrorism.
Well, you know, in Peru in the 80s had the most horrendous experience with terrorism. Shining Path, a Maoist terrorist movement, was very active at the beginning only in the Andes, but then practically spread all over the country. And life changed dramatically because of that. One of the consequences was the impoverishment of the country and the collapse of the democratic system. We have had dictatorship for almost 10 years because the kind of insecurity and paranoia that terrorism produced in Peruvian society. So the effects of the terrorism threat in Peru were devastating for the economy, for politics, and I would say for the Peruvian mental environment.
What do you mean? How were the changes to this mental environment manifest?
Probably the worst effect of terrorism is that there is no trust in anything anymore. If you think that your life is threatened, that you can be killed or bombed or kidnapped because this invisible, you know, enemy that is there in the dark waiting for its victims, I think life becomes a very sad, even brutal experience in psychological terms. You know? Of course, we had before very bad political experiences with dictators and with authoritarian regimes, and even with revolutionary movements. But this kind of cold and blind terrorism against civil goals, against innocent people, we had never had before.
Mr. Vargas Llosa, how do you think people in Peru learned? I mean, it's easy to say, oh, you just have to go about your business, and if terrorists are going to act, they're going to act, and there's nothing you can do about it. But that just seems too glib an answer. How do you think people in Peru did cope with the fear that they faced, and what lessons do you think they might have for the U.S.?
Well, Peruvians coped quite badly. You know, they were terrified, desperate, and so they surrendered to this temptation. They accepted, you know, that democracy was too weak to defend the country against terrorists. And a great number, maybe a majority of Peruvians, you know, accepted the coup d'etat in 1992 with the idea that a strong, you know, authoritarian regime would guarantee security. The result, of course, was this regime that has been so damaging for the country, you know, 10 years of human rights abuses, of corruption, of disappearance of freedom of the press, of civil liberties. So I think Peru coped quite badly with that. But I can mention another case which is very, very interesting, the case of Spain, where there is terrorism, you know, the ETA movement, which wants the independence of the Basque region, is a terrorist organization that kills people, that kidnap people. And but this has not affected the Spanish institutions and societies. On the contrary, I would say that the terrorist threat has strengthened the democratic commitment of society.
What about changes in the arts? How do you think writers are affected by these things? Writers, musicians, all kinds of artists.
Well, I think one of the consequences for culture in general is that these kind of experiences push writers and artists and intellectuals in general to participate in the public debate and to commit themselves politically. On the contrary, in peaceful and stable democratic societies, writers, artists tend to neglect civic causes or political commitments as something that is an obstacle for their vocation, for their jobs. But it is very difficult if you live in a society where everybody can be killed, you know, because of a bomb or because of a terrorist act, not to feel obliged to participate in civic causes.
But this is very interesting, because I've read where you have said in speeches and in articles that a writer's primary responsibility is to write, to create literature.
Yes, absolutely. But this is not incompatible with concern for what is going on in the place where you live and the country where you belong, you know. If there is no freedom in a society and you are a writer, you cannot say, this is not my problem, because it is your problem. If you are a writer and there is no freedom, your vocation is threatened, you know. Well, this is what happened in a society where terrorism, you know, is a daily presence, you know. You have to do something. And this, I think, can infuse art, literature, thinking with a living link with the common people interests. And I think this is rather positive, because I think culture should not be purely entertainment or a matter for specialists. No? On the other hand, when a society faces this kind of threat, I think culture become very important, because you look for explanations, analysis, answers to something that you cannot understand. And in this moment, I think culture appears as something that can help people in their lives.
Mario Vargas Llosa, his latest novel is called The Feast of the Goat. Thank you for coming in and talking with us.
Thank you.